The sure thing is to know that when you travel, there is unpredictability. Things out of the norm when you're just in the US are going to happen. And as long as you take that with some grace and go with it, then your travels will be really enjoyable.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, so stay tuned for more from them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. All right. Hello and welcome. And thank you for tuning in and spending some time with me today. I think that we're in for some fun stories in this episode, including one that might blow your mind a little bit, because that is what happened when our guest today first told me this story in person. I don't want to get too far ahead or give anything away just yet, but if you've ever heard of Rainbow Mountain in Peru, you're going to want to hear what we're about to talk about today. I have Leanne Morris with me. She's the co-founder of Flashpacker Connect, along with her husband, Brandon, and we're going to learn more about what that is and how it came to be as we go. But first, I'm going to go ahead and welcome Leanne to the show. So Leanne, I'm happy we're getting to do this. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Jackie. I'm so excited that, you know, we have a good history together. We've met traveling and we go to travel conferences. So it's nice to be able to connect remotely as well and just chat and catch up.
Yeah, definitely. No, I love it. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I actually, at the beginning of nearly all of these episodes, I love to share how I met my guests, because with nearly all of my guests, we met somewhere traveling. And I think it's really important to celebrate the bonds and the connections that you can make and form relationships with people as we travel. And so why don't we start there with where we happened to be in the world when we met, because it was 3 years ago, almost exactly, at this point.
Maybe. Yeah. Was it in, I feel we've had so many trips together now. So I can't remember if it was when we were in Quebec together, Patagonia. We've had a lot of fun adventures.
No, it was Quebec. We met on an adventure winter trip in Quebec. And you know what's funny? I actually just had, do you remember Jennifer Broom from that trip? Because I just had her on the podcast.
Yeah, she's a great reporter.
She's amazing. And I just had her on like 2 episodes ago. So maybe this is like the month of the Quebec
ladies. She's my neighbor down in Denver. So I'm up in Fort Collins. So we're not too far away from each other.
I love that. Well, yeah. So that first meeting in Quebec on that adventure trip, you told me a story that has stuck with me. And I, when I asked you to be on the show and tell it, you're like, oh, I haven't told that story in a while, but it's so exciting to me. And so that was kind of the impetus of like, well, what a neat thing. First of all, we're going to let everybody hear what that is in a little bit. But actually, before we get there, I think it's only right to start with you and who you are and like what your background is and how you even got into traveling in the first place. And then we'll get to Rainbow Mountain.
Sure. So, you know, I have a little, I think many travelers have a similar story where they were drawn to adventure and wanted to discover more, experience more places. And as I was in my younger adult years, I was working a 9-to-5 job in the banking industry and just really grinding it out every day. And after several years of this tug and pull where I wanted to travel, but I didn't have that time, Brandon and I finally took the leap to just quit our jobs out of the blue, travel for a year. And that traveling then ultimately led us to making connections around the world and starting an adventure travel company.
It's amazing to hear you say that in one sentence, because I know, like, I think there's so much in between all of that and prep and sacrifice and suffering and just like I can see the whole process. But to know that that's where you ended is also incredibly inspiring. Can you, I don't know, share any more about that for our listeners out there who might be the ones grinding at the bank?
Completely. I mean, it was a very difficult decision for us. Interestingly enough, Brandon had met a friend at his workplace who had done the same thing. And him and his wife had saved up for several years and then decided to quit their jobs and travel. And he ended up coming back to work, and that's how Brandon met him. But we saw this young couple, and they were so inspiring, and they saw the world in a matter of a year. And while, when you think about that, you just, when you're in the daily grind, it seems impossible to do. And I loved my job, and I felt like my destiny was to work my way up the corporate ladder. And so it was really scary to let that go. But I think the ultimate letting go, and just, we knew we had a goal of traveling, and we felt like at the end of those travels, we can just come back to our jobs. And that was kind of our original goal. But those travels, it has a way of really drawing you in. After you get started, you see what is actually out there, what life is all about, when you can really just slow down, make new relationships and connections with people in different cultures. And man, I'm trying to wrap it up because I really could, and I'm sure you too could talk about it for days of how special it is to get out and travel.
What do you think? Okay, knowing that you had the kind of the safety net idea of, hey, we can always come back and get our jobs again. So that's sort of like the plan A after going to explore the world. But what do you think were, like, what were the biggest things that you learned in that year that completely changed everything about your life?
Yeah, that is such a hard question. I think as we took the leap and we started traveling, just not really knowing what we were getting ourselves into. We loved adventure. We loved hiking. So we really focused our adventures around different hikes in the world that we could do on our own and yet have these really fulfilling experiences. And as we met these wonderful people throughout our journey, that really sparked this motion in us that led us to, well, what if we were able to share this with other people that maybe don't have the same capacity of traveling? You know, they're not going to quit their jobs and travel for a year. But how can we share these special experiences with people who are in the same position as us working, but in a shorter time frame?
Which fits most people, most of the interested people who want to travel. Yeah. Okay, that is, I feel like that we have a similarity in that. And I think so many entrepreneurs do, because it's a passion that we discover for ourselves. And it's so incredibly impactful and life changing that we're like, drink this Kool-Aid, you know, like, you have to try this. You must do this. Right. Like, this is the way. And so then we create something out of it, and then invite others into that space to try and make an impact on that. Or actually, how I like to describe it is facilitating, because we're kind of like the Oz behind the curtains, like in our positions of what we do. You know, it's like, we're going to facilitate this for you, but we can't make you go. You got to be the one to say, I want to do this. I'm going to show up. What is it I want to do? And then go find the adventure. We're going to provide the adventure, but you write the story. You know, it's up to you to show up and go find what's going to happen. But there are people out there who will help you do it, who will make it easier. And that's right, kind of where we come in, and where Flashpacker Connect comes in. I know. I do want to, like, ask you more about the year. How about this? Before we get into Flashpacker, because it must have been so, I don't know, captivating, this year of travel for you. Where did you go? Like, what did you do? How long was it?
Yeah, we started off by, we bought a one-way ticket before we even quit our jobs to Bangkok, because we thought, you know, we're going to get as far away as we can.
Wait, what year was this?
And this was in 2014.
Okay.
So not too long ago. Well, I guess.
But long enough before COVID and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And our idea was to get out there and get to Nepal. We wanted to hike in Nepal, like the ultimate trekking destination. And so we bought our ticket to Bangkok, flew straight to Nepal, and launched our travels with a month hike throughout the Annapurna region, the Annapurna Circuit, Annapurna Base Camp. And so we were hiking for 30 days.
Oh, what a dream.
Amidst of all of that, we were there during the earthquake. We were just on the tail end of our hike. And I remember thinking, we felt the earthquake, and it was this really surreal experience, but we were in the middle of nowhere. We weren't in the mountains, in the snowy mountains, but we weren't in the villages. And so we were in a very, very safe spot. And a couple days later, we leave our hiking trip, and we're done. But we're just kind of recapping our experience and, you know, talking about our families, but also not realizing that the news in the U.S. was this devastation in Nepal. And our parents were a little skeptical of us hiking anyways the start and quitting our jobs. And like, here we are not contacting them. They thought we were just wiped off the face of the earth. And come to find out they find out we're okay. And it was a much bigger devastation than we knew when we were in the middle of nowhere. So that really launched our year of travel. I think our parents were definitely a little skeptical after that.
Just what you need. I mean, sometimes it can be hard to convince people, like, I'm going to be fine. Like, it's okay. I'm going to go do this thing. Something like that happens. That's massive. That's like a pretty big deal. Although I feel like things like that are just happening more and more.
You can't predict what's going to happen when you travel. That is the sure thing is to know that when you travel, there is unpredictability, and know that going in that you'll have those experiences, not necessarily an earthquake, but, you know, things out of the norm when you're just in your tiny little bubble in the U.S. are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And as long as you take that with some grace and go with it, then your travels will be really enjoyable.
And I do think it's still okay to get off grid, because obviously you guys were off grid, like in Nepal. Otherwise, you would have known. You would have been reached out to. Totally. You would have known. And so, but it's also one of the, it's a blessing and a curse going off grid, because you get to indulge in being off grid, which is so rare. It has to be intentional if you want to go find it. And you know that if something happens, like, you're going to find out when you get back.
Right. You know, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Man, what a wild way to start. Where did you go from Nepal?
So from Nepal, we traveled around Southeast Asia and started that core backpacker loop that I think it's very accessible when you're over there, but it's hard for a limited time frame to experience that Southeast Asia circuit. So that was always one place that we really wanted to go and explore, and felt totally out of our comfort zone that we ended up really falling in love with.
How long did you spend there?
We were there. We did spent about a month in each country. So we were there for about almost 6 months.
And then where?
And then from there, we wanted some more mountains. So Southeast Asia, really great beaches.
Yeah.
and you know, vibing of just relaxation. But that's when we wanted to get to the real mountains. And we felt like, oh, the Andes are just calling us. So we flew down to Peru. We had this idea of just hiking kind of like we did in Nepal. However, in Nepal, everything is very supported. So you have tea houses and people who are cooking you food. Whereas in the Andes, you're out on your own. We had our tent with us, our sleeping bags. We had our stove and food and all of that. We had a stash of food to last us several weeks. And that's kind of where our the story of our company starts from.
That's the story that you told me in the beginning, that this is the one that I got all excited about at the beginning of the show and told you guys. So if you're listening, this is the one I was talking about. So please tell us about this. I love that this segued naturally.
So we when we got into Cusco, there's a lot of shops with pictures and storefronts and just like beautiful mountains advertising these different tours you can take. Well, when we were researching some different areas that we wanted to hike in the Andes, we found this beautiful circuit called the Asangate that is really well known. And even at the time, it was very well known. However, we had heard of this special place that had some colorful lines in the mountains, and we were asking all of these shops, and no one could steer us in the right direction, to the point where people were telling us we made this up.
Wow!
It doesn't exist. There is no place that you can go that looks like this.
But you'd seen a picture of it, right?
We'd seen a picture, a very small picture in a pamphlet, and so we had this picture and we were taking it around, so someone had known about it, but it was so far off the main circuit that it wasn't accessible to tourists or really to any hikers unless you're willing to hike on your own and really get out and explore. And so we started mapping out like over different mountain passes and how we could try to find this area. Well, as we were scanning Google Earth, it is really interesting. You can see it from Google Earth, just this one spot of the Andes that is now to be known as Rainbow Mountain. And as we were scanning, we're like, oh my God, that's it. That's where we're trying to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but we had no idea how long it was going to take us to get there. And we were pretty good hikers. So we're very, fit and, comfortable with navigating passes. You know, to make a long story short, we did finally get to this, this mountain, and it was bigger than we had expected. It was so beautiful. It was really incredible. We were there with complete freedom. Nobody was around us, and it was just quiet, and the locals were, there were some locals here and there walking around, but nobody made a big deal of it.
There were locals there.
There were a couple of, because there are sheep farmers.
Okay.
And alpaca farmers. And so there's locals walking around throughout our whole hike, but definitely people had lived there, but they didn't know how. I mean, I guess if you grow up with something so beautiful, you don't know how beautiful or how unique it is. It was just their daily life. So we, you know, we're so excited and on cloud nine, but we continue our hike because we, you know, we had to get home too.
Yeah.
And we make our way back to the Asangate normal circuit, which only took us, it was 2 days off the circuit and then 2 days to get back. So it wasn't this huge expedition like we thought it was going to be. And as we're coming around on, you know, a few days later, we met this local guy on the trail who is now near and dear to us. And we're talking to him about this hike that we just did, and we were so excited, and we showed him pictures, and he looks at us and he goes, "Where is that? I've never seen it. I've been guiding in these mountains for 15 years. I've never seen this place." And so we made this instant connection with them and exchanged numbers and chatted for a little bit. And then we ended up at the end of our hike. Several days later, we met up in Cusco and came up with this idea of, you're a guide. We have some business background. Like, let's share this with other hikers. Like, let's make this a place where people can go, make it accessible. And so the plan formed.
And this is like how Rainbow Mountain was born.
Oh my God. It is so wild, because this is, again, back in 2015, social media was, Instagram was just getting started. The posts didn't go viral like they do today, but they were still shared. And so these pictures of us, of the mountain that we'd taken, just started getting shared on all these different platforms and just all over.
I remember when it was, when it like came online, because I had been to Peru in 2011 and there was zero, like nothing, you know, nothing about this Rainbow Mountain. And I'm like, that's so odd. Cause like, I know what you're talking about with all of the stores and all of the like the tour companies that want you to do all these things. No one was talking about Rainbow Mountain back then.
Right.
And so it was like, well, I guess there's like this new hot place to go in Peru. And I mean, I was just back there in September of last year, September, October. And we didn't go on our trip. It didn't involve Rainbow Mountain because we were going a different direction. But we did have people go there after, because it's a thing now. You've got to go see
totally
Rainbow Mountain.
Thing.
And that started with you and Brandon and your guide.
Well, and our guide. Mm-hmm. And to give him so much credit, I mean, we knew how to get there by way of several days. But our local guide, who's now our Cusco manager, he runs all of our operations there. He was going on these expeditions, so driving from different starting points. How can we get there in a day to make it accessible for people who don't have 7 days to hike, who don't have even 3 days to hike? And so he helped form this original hike, which was a very long hike. Back when we first started taking people, it was like 15 miles or maybe I can't remember the exact logistics right now, but it was a very long drive, a really long hike, and just exhausting. And so we would take a maximum of six or eight people along, and there were horses to help if in case anybody was too tired. But now it's been so built up, so people can get there, and I think you can even get there just by a 4x4. So it's kind of lost some of its luster, but it's still an exceptionally beautiful place.
We'll come right back to that, but first let's thank the brands that support our show. Osprey is the maker of all the luggage and backpacks I've been using for more than a decade now. I've tried a lot of Osprey hiking packs over the years, and I have different favorites for different activities. Today, I'm going to share what my favorite day hiking pack is and why. Specifically, the two features that make it my top choice for day hikes. It's called the Cirrus, which also comes in a Stratus version, the only difference being fit design for different body types. For me, it's the Cirrus, and I have two preferred sizes when it comes to capacity, the 24 and the 34, because both of these have the features that I love. The 34 just offers a bit more space for those days that require extra Snickers bars. You know the ones. First, the feature I love the most about these packs is the wide dual zipper access to the main compartment. That means you open it with a nice big zipper instead of a top-loading drawstring. My second favorite feature is the Airspeed suspension, which is Osprey's fancy term for a light frame that provides structure and holds the pack away from your back, where there's a nice cooling mesh back panel and a sturdy hip belt to hold it all in place. All of these things equal comfort in capital letters. When do I use it? On any day hike that requires a pack, and even on multi-day hut-to-hut hikes where I don't have to carry all of my overnight gear. So for example, when I hiked through the Dolomites in Italy and also to Machu Picchu in Peru, our main bags were transferred for us every day. So all we had to carry was what we needed during the day. Check out Osprey.com to nerd out on all the cool features of the Cirrus and Stratus, and don't forget your packing cubes. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible. I love this story. What a wild thing that you, because then you've essentially, you created, your whole company was born in that moment, really, of that first operation.
We started just selling a 1- and a 2-day trip to Rainbow Mountain. We came up with our name. And again, we were the only company for a good amount of time that was offering this tour. So we had our foot in the door already with earned business. And as that segment of our company grew, we would have these travelers or backpackers that went on our hike with us that wanted other unique experiences. And so as we built that company, we left Cusco and kept exploring on our own. We kept hiking. We went to Patagonia and the Chilean side and in Argentina. And as we did that, we started adding in more hiking. We still kept to our core of a hiking company. We loved and our core of what we love. And so those first customers who were with us in the Rainbow Mountain then followed us to Patagonia and Argentina. And we built that trust right off the bat with that.
I can relate on a level of, like, when you find something, even as a consumer, like when you find something you love, you trust that person. You want more from that person.
Right.
And so it kind of can grow organically. It's a lot of work, though. It's a lot of work for you guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was an exciting amount of work, though, for us. You know, when traveling and we had quit our jobs, you still have a draw and a desire of wanting to do something. You know,
sure.
You don't just quit your jobs and say, we're good. We don't have to do anything
now.
All day.
Right.
And so it was, you know, halfway through our travels and I had been blogging and just kind of doing things to keep my brain moving throughout the day. But now we had this exciting business to start working on and a reason to continue traveling and continue finding new and exciting places. And so we would have home bases for longer than we had in our beginning travels because we wanted to sit down and work and focus on curating these really special hiking trips for the development of the company.
So cool.
So that gave us the energy to keep going.
Sure. Did you get to do them all yourself first? Like, did you pick the ones that you had done? And
yeah. So the idea of the company in the beginning was we were only going to add special hikes to the website that we've been on, that we know that we could sell. And the company is now 11 years old. And so we haven't been on every hike ourselves anymore. But with the team that we have a small team that we built up as well. And many of the girls that are sales reps have also experienced these hikes as we've grown and developed the company.
Yeah, it's hard to do it all yourself. And congratulations for being able to grow and have a team. And I mean, I've experienced a bit of what you're doing. And I know that it's really born of passion. And when you care so much about your product too, you have high standards and you want your people to experience absolutely the best thing and have a really positive, like life-changing, whatever sort of impactful, going back to the very beginning of when you guys started traveling and how it affected you. Like that's what you want to provide for your clients. And so I think like being smaller is almost better because you can curate easier, and having those personal connections is so important. So I see you on that, and congratulations.
Thank you. And I think, you know, our generation is they're looking for those really special emotional experiences when they travel. Mm-hmm. I think when we were growing up, travel wasn't quite as accessible, and we're allowing it to be more accessible now with these small adventure travel companies that want to share the experiences with travelers like ourselves.
Yeah. And we can't get enough. So keep it coming.
I know. Totally. It's really a special thing to be able to go out and experience the world and meet people in different cultures. And I do feel very fortunate to have been able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone has to. Honestly, like, just like somebody needs to be doing that 9 to 5 at the bank, somebody needs to be out there exploring Rainbow Mountain so that other people can experience it.
I mean, it just happens
that you drew that card.
Oh my gosh, it's just incredible that there are places that had been undiscovered on the tourist track and went from nothing to 10 years later is, you know, has its own documentary. And
it's just incredible. I would bet that most people listening have heard about Rainbow Mountain.
Right.
It's just so wild.
And the change in, I look back at that too, and the change in the life of people who lived around Rainbow Mountain as well, and how they have money to be able to send their kids to college or high school even, and out of the mountains if they want to, or stay and be a part of the development of Rainbow Mountain too. I think that has been really impactful for their lives as well. So that's a really neat thing to see.
That's one of the beauties of adventure travel too, is that you're getting off the beaten track and getting to know these tiny backcountry local places. And when you operate in such a place, you use the locals and you can't help but impact the economy there. And it's such a positive thing. And it creates such sustainability for a beautiful region, for people wanting to protect it and learning about what it is that they're living. Like you said, that the people didn't even realize what they had, you know, and now they do, and they can appreciate it. And so can travelers. And yeah, it's like a ripple effect.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's what's so special, like you said, about adventure travel, you know, getting that economic value to the locals and in a small impact that eventually could be life changing for them.
Is that mostly what your company does, is work with the small operators? And
we do. Yeah, we work only with local guides and transportations. We're not typically booking through a large company. We find our local guides, local drivers, hotels, and work with everybody individually so that we can make the impact on the individual rather than a company and have them contract out the work.
I don't know if you guys listening know what a big deal that is, but I want to applaud you on that, because I just know how much like it takes to have logistics like that and dedication like that, and the drive to support local and really, I guess, create an environment of sustainable travel, like where you're operating.
You've really done it yourself too with the group travel that you run in the past, and the tours that we've met are mm-hmm. each other on. Mm-hmm. I see you working with all of those small operators and guides and drivers as well. And so you know how logistically that can be difficult.
And that's why I want to celebrate you for it, because, you know, it's important. It's important work. So, yay. I love this story. So your company, well, we also have a bonus for you guys. So keep listening as we get to learn a little bit more about Leanne's company. But you have an interesting name for this company, and I'd love for you to explain what it means, and what it means to you, and where people can find you, etc.
Well, the term backpacker also has a sister name, Flashpacker, and a flashpacker is a young professional who doesn't maybe have quite as much time to travel like a backpacker, but they want to have those experiences of local culture, really special curated experiences. And that's what a flashpacker is. They maybe have a little bit bigger budget as well than mm-hmm. a backpacker. And then the idea of connecting you with that local immersion and local feeling. So Flashpacker Connect was born just to really help travelers get connected to local culture.
Mm-hmm. And Where can we find you if somebody wants to explore your tours? And what are you going to offer them for hearing this episode with us today?
So we are flashpackerconnect.com. And while our core is a hiking company, we do a lot of guided and self-guided hikes, self-supported. But also multi-venture experiences around the world. We do have a special offer for your listeners that we have a coupon discount code. If you type in JUMP when you're booking or mention that you've heard us on the podcast, you'll get $50 off on your booking, which we try to keep our tours very approachable for the average traveler. So we are not luxury by any means. We're not budget. But we're definitely more of a budget to mid-range, approachable and accessible for travelers.
Thank you so much for offering that for everybody. We'll make sure that you guys can find the link in the show notes too. And in fact, there'll be a link in the show notes with this episode that will trigger the same discount, right? So you want to use that link to book, then we encourage you to. Otherwise, just tell them that Jump Podcast sent you or Traveling Jackie and they'll get that discount for you. But yeah, thank you for offering that to everybody here today and for sharing your story, because ever since I first heard it, I guess 3 years ago now, I've been thinking we've got to share this. It's just interesting. And in the life of a traveler who's seen such places and been to Peru before Rainbow Mountain, like it's just fascinating what you can create. And I mean, here you were working at a bank and then decided, let's quit our jobs and I'm going to do the whole like one sentence summary thing to a mind blowing end. But like, really, like, what else are you capable of? You know, like you used to be working in a bank and then you went and discovered Rainbow Mountain. And now everybody out there listening has heard of Rainbow Mountain because of you. You know, like it's kind of wild. Like what else can we do with this life? And I also want to bring it back to what you originally started with, was that you took the leap and quit your job and went. And there's a reason this is called Jump Podcast. That's exactly what it's about. It's about taking the leap. It's about discovering what it is that we're capable of and exploring it, you know, and just getting curious and getting out there. And so, and you're such a good example of that. You and Brandon have such a good example of that story. So I just appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Yeah. I am in awe of what you do on your podcast every time I listen to an episode. So I feel fortunate that I get to be a guest on your podcast and keep doing great things, because you are inspiring people to travel and inspiring people to get out there, step out of their comfort zone. And it's really special. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. And you too. And I will see you at the next stop, wherever that's going to be for both of us, because I'm sure it's going to happen soon.
Perfect. I can't wait.
Maybe back in Quebec.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, Leanne.